Well, do you think we're going to get done with the meeting before the bad weather comes? Yes, we are. We're going to do our very, very best to have that happen. But I don't know if any of you have heard, but God is a Penn State fan. That's what I've been told. Yep, God's a Penn State fan because if you believe the bumper stickers, that's why the sky is blue and white, is because God's a Penn State fan. You know, that's what I've been told. I don't know if I believe it or not. On the same note, though, who do you think God is rooting for today in the Super Bowl? The Steelers. Did somebody say the Steelers? Yeah, that's right. Do you think God cares about who wins the Super Bowl today? Yes, no? Well, you know, our national attention is going to be focused on Arizona this afternoon when the Seahawks and the Patriots take the field. The Super Bowl, though, you know, has grown into a phenomenon that has really transcended and kind of a sporting event. It's not really a sporting event anymore. It is oh so much more. Now, these statistics are from 2014. Now, Laura found these. It was the most watched American television program in the history of television, 2014. Average audience of 111.5 million viewers from 198 countries, and it was broadcast in more than 25 languages. And they say the world doesn't like American football. Now, people will watch this afternoon who otherwise are not the least bit interested in football. And advertisers know that. They are paying well over $4 million for a 30-second spot. Now, we have to ask, do you think that's worth it? Well, apparently the advertisers think so. And recent statistics also indicate that more and more people every year tune into the Super Bowl just to see the new commercials. Things just keep getting curiouser and curiouser in the world, don't they? So who do you think's going to win? The Seahawks? The Patriots? According to Teddy Bear the Porcupine, the Seahawks are going to win. There are elephants, manatees, and camels that are all predicting the winner of the game. And I think that that proves that the Super Bowl is a very big deal. Who does God want to win? Does God care who wins the game? Come to think of it, do all of the prayers that we pray about the game influence the outcome? And if you don't think that it does, why doesn't it? Jesus said in our lesson today, I will do whatever you ask in my name. Don't you think that as we speak, in both locker rooms right now in Arizona, prayers are being said? You know, I'm mindful of the last interview I saw of Russell Wilson when they beat Green Bay. He was sobbing, as was John that day. He was sobbing, and he was giving glory to Jesus. And it was pretty impressive, I have to admit. And it was way more powerful than all of those other guys who kneel down in the end zone after they make a touchdown. Or after they get a pass, they go, you know, they point to the sky. Or even, it was really even more powerful than those groups of players that at the end of the game, they get down on their knees in prayer. Sometimes, though, when I take time to think about it, though, these images on television make me a little uneasy. Now, I have to admit that I am really, really happy that there are more people publicly acknowledging the importance of their faith. I'm really happy about that. That's a good thing. But I am really disturbed at the implication that Jesus Christ helps one team kick the butt of another team. Back in the late 90s in Sports Illustrated, there was an article. The Broncos said that they were in the Super Bowl because God had decided that they should be. Now, so if you follow that logic, God was for the Broncos, and that year God was against the Steelers. Now, that brings us to this year. Many of the Seahawks believe that it is by God's hand that they are in the Super Bowl. But here's the rub. Many of the Patriots believe that it is by God's hand that they are in the Super Bowl as well. So who do you think, which one do you think God wants to win? You know, the average number of evangelical Christians on NFL teams is about 15 now. Every team at some point or another during the week has Bible studies that are attended by many members of the staff and players. Most NFL teams have Christianity at the foundation of their team history. And a lot of these team members have been studying the Bible together for years, and I think that's awesome. But do we buy the assertion that some of the players make that they are just merely instruments of God's will in the outcome of a football game? Does God take an active interest in the final score of football games, or any sports event for that matter? Richard Wood is a Methodist and a Quaker minister, and he happens to be the Dean of Divinity at Yale. He says, it doesn't seem to me very odd that God would know in detail what happens in football games. Well, you know, I mean, just inside, he is God. Okay. But now, this is his quote. What seems to me odd is that God would care. The idea that God intervenes in sports is one that most Christian theologians reject, he said. Now, Richard Wood goes on to say, we have terrible things going on around the globe. Heck, we have terrible things going on right here, amen? Okay, that was also me. Okay, this is Richard Wood again. And to suggest in that light that God has a direct involvement in an athletic contest trivializes the whole notion of God's involvement in the world. Think about that. Another theologian, Joseph Howe, the dean in Vanderbilt's Divinity School, he says, it makes God look arbitrary. And I find that religiously offensive. God bless you. From my perspective, the Christian message is that God will help you bear up under anything. That's what we're counting on this morning. You will not escape tribulation or suffering or defeat, but God will give you the grace to bear it with dignity and with courage. Now, one more theologian, and I promise I will stop. No heavy duty credentials here, but plenty of football credentials. Minister of the Gospel, Reggie White. He died in 2004. He loved the Lord, and he loved football. Now, he would get furious if somebody suggested that God did not care about the outcome of a game. It is said that he would get furious at the suggestion that God takes no part in the outcome of games, and he would say, these are his quotes, how do they know? They're not God. They can't find anything in Scripture that proves it. And then he would point to the fact that the Bible is filled with evidence of God intervening in human conflicts. God intervened in David's fight with Goliath, he is quoted as saying. He also is quoted as saying, when Jesus died, God intervened in Jesus' victory over death. And those are facts. But for me, you know, to put the outcome of a sporting event between teams of millionaires in the same category as the dramatic rescue of God's chosen people or the redemption of mankind, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Many Christians say that they pray to win. They pray, they say also, for it to be for the glory of God. Now that is also the prayer that I have heard many people pray at casinos. If they win a lot of money, they're going to give most of it to God. I also hear that prayer with people who pay the lottery. If they only win the lottery, they're going to give most of it to the work of the Lord. Now, one football player is quoted as saying, he prays, please keep everyone safe and free of injury, but God, I want to win so I have an even bigger platform to use for you, because people listen more to winners than they do to losers. And yes, I admit, I hear that. But I still have a little bit of trouble with it. I can buy the prayer about protection from injuries. But really, the best protection would be to never play the game in which the injury rate is 100%. Did you know that the injury rate in football is 100%? I can even sympathize with a prayer that says, God, I can serve you better if you give us the victory, because people will listen more to a winner than they will to a loser. But you know, that doesn't always hold true. In history, those who have denied their own lives in the service of others seem to have real staying power. You know, we all know who Mother Teresa was. But I don't think many of you know who Hank Stram was. Anybody know who Hank Stram was? He developed the shotgun. Shotgun snap in football. He also happened to be the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs for a lot of years, or I wouldn't know that statistic either. But does God take sides in games? You know, the only side that I see God taking in Scripture is the side of the widow and of the orphan and of the outcast and of the helpless. And Scripture is full of references in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 15, there will always be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy. Chapter 24, do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy. 1 Samuel 2, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Over and over. I could have gone on and on. The Bible makes it clear. The Bible talks more about the poor than it does about the resurrection. In fact, it talks more about the poor than it talks about prayer, even prayer for victory in the Super Bowl. So, what do you think? Should the players be praying for victory this afternoon? Well, I am with Yogi Berra, who I actually pay attention to this sort of thing because of my friend Paul. I am with Yogi Berra on this one, who is reported to have told a player coming up to bat who crossed himself, and this is what he said. Ah, why don't you leave God alone? Let him just sit back and watch a game for once. You know, James Cuck, he was a former college basketball player. He also became an ordained pastor after his basketball career was over, and he said that player prayers are usually very earnest, and that most Christian athletes' religious lives revolve around a very, very simple expression of faith. They take the Bible very literally, and they think of God in an almost physical way. God is their friend and their force and their power. And we can say amen to all of those things. And then he says, some even believe that it is God out there on the field that deflects passes, that he opens holes for running backs, that he helps them tackle opponents and in kicking field goals. Well, what do you think about that? Do you think that that's true? Well, Reverend Cuck believes the outcome is dependent on human beings, not on God. God will inspire players to do their best, but the outcome is up to them. Players and fans should ask for guidance, for wisdom, for courage, for safety. Now, for sure, God is going to be giving the players what they need to deal with adversity. Our prayer needs to be that we ask God for us to use all of our talents to the utmost for his glory, all of our talents. And that we should pray that we could always be the best person out there. And that's a good prayer for the Seahawks and the Patriots today. But praying to win the game? So, does God care who wins the Super Bowl? No, he doesn't care. But does God care about every one of the players? Absolutely. And does God care about you? You bet. And does God care about me? Absolutely. And that, in the end, is all any of us will ever need. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that you care about us. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that even when things are spinning and we don't understand, that we know you've got this. And we can depend on you to pull things out of the dumper, and we just want to thank you for that. So we pray for our church family today, Lord. And we also pray for the Super Bowl this afternoon, for every player, that your hand would be on them, helping them to do their best and keeping them safe for a wonderful contest. But in the end, we know, Father, that it's for your glory that we live. And we pray that you would help us to do just that. And we pray it in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.